Is anyone else just constantly worrying? I feel like it can't just be me, but I feel like worry should be my middle name. But I have recently discovered Cover My Bubble. Cover My Bubble are a family insurance company who started their business in memory of their daughter. When Lilybeth passed away, they didn't have any insurance and lost Emma's income into the family, which was very difficult. They are here to help families with affordable insurances such as life, critical illness, income protection, children's cover and bump cover. Yep, children can be covered too. Now Emma loves a question, so why not reach out to her at Cover My Bubble and let her help you. Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am your host Lottie and I am here to normalise normal parenthood and to show everyone that really we're all just winging it. Join me and my amazing guests to make sense of the chaos and work through motherhood together. Hello and welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum, and we have got another Spill the Tea episode today with the lovely Emily. How are you, Emily?
Hiya, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, yeah, I'm good, thank you. Apart from the parenting fail that I just told you about, it's Bailey's birthday tomorrow. We were just blowing up his number three balloon and it exploded. So, yeah, a little parenting fail before coming on the pod tonight. But what can you do? You're just going to have to go without a balloon. But yeah, how have you been anyway?
Yeah, good. Kind of, I think the last time we spoke, the last time I was on here, I think, was just after I'd gone back to work. So my little girl wasn't even one then. She's two next week. Yeah. So kind of in the depths of toddlerhood, which is a whole different... whole different ball game, isn't it?
Oh, it's wild, isn't it? Especially when you're having to juggle working mum life as well. It's just wild. And that's kind of what we're talking about today as well. The last episode that we did together was on a similar topic, but this time we are doing a spill the tea on it. So audience participation, we've had people write in with their feelings about default parenting and the juggle and the mental load and all of that stuff, and we are going to chat about what we think. So it's going to be a slightly different episode to last time, but still one that all the mums are going to relate to.
Yeah, I feel like everybody has got something to say about things like this, so
Oh, yes. So let's dive straight in. So the first one, being the default parent is exhausting, both mentally and physically. It's the hardest thing I've done job-wise, and yet it's the least I've been recognised of having done a good job. Yes.
Hit
the nail on the head right there with the first one, I think.
Yeah, that speaks to my soul. Like, nobody's telling you you're doing a good job ever. Like,
no,
you just kind of have to bumble along. And at least at work, generally, like now and again, I mean, I work in healthcare, you work in healthcare, now and again you'll get a patient who'll say something really nice, and it's the same in most jobs, isn't it? He'll be like, and you think, oh, it's all worth it, but like I mean, all a toddler wants to do at you is scream, can I have another snack, please?
I hate you, mummy. You're the worst mummy. Cool. I've only been doing motherhood for like 5 years straight without a break. And yeah, you hate me. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. We haven't got to that far yet. She's not that, like, I don't think she's quite got to I hate you. But yesterday in the bath, we had mummy, no sing Elsa anymore. Okay. I wasn't singing Elsa, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Bailey does the whole stop touching me, mummy. It's like I'll be like cuddling him or stroking him and he'll be like, stop touching me, mummy. And I'm like, is this the thanks I get for birthing you children and literally being the default parent every day? But yeah, it really is tough. And I think I agree with that, in that it's the hardest job. I mean, as you said, I work in healthcare and intensive care, which is probably one of the most difficult jobs there are, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
I can't
yeah,
really
definitely.
Compare because I've not done another job. But going to work in critical care and caring for a patient that is like in cardiac arrest is easier than looking after children and being the default parent.
I think I feel like there's nothing to measure yourself against in parenting, whereas at work you're kind of like, you know what you've got to do, you go in, you do your job, especially if you've been doing it for a long time, like, you know that I go in, yeah. I do this is right. You generally will get some feedback from somebody saying, yeah, you're doing this really well. You sit down, you have your appraisal and all of that. And it's just in parenting, I feel like half the time, the only sort of goalposts that we have are like looking at people online who seem to have everything together and know what they're doing. Or you see friends who, I think sometimes you only get a little piece of the picture. So you go and see your friends and you think, oh, like their child's so much better behaved than mine. But actually you've seen like an hour in a day where they probably are well behaved, because do you know what? My daughter's a lot better behaved when she's out of the house than when she is in the house.
Exactly.
I think that's the thing, is that it's just like there's nothing to tell you that you're doing a good job. There's nothing to say, this is how you do it right. We all think we're doing it wrong, I think, to a certain extent.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, in a job, you know what you're doing. Whereas in motherhood, one day you could give the kid a blue cup and that's fine and you're doing everything right. But the next day you give the kid a blue cup and the blue cup causes World War III. So you never know what you're doing in motherhood. Like, it's just a guessing game all the way through, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, toddlers and coloured cups and things was just a whole thing that I didn't think would be such a nightmare of my life.
Yeah, I know. It'll be anything now. It'll be how you peel a banana, the cups, the plates. What was it Bailey had a tantrum about the other day? It was something that I was like, what is happening right now? I can't even remember what it was, but it was something that I couldn't do anything. Oh, it was because it was nighttime outside. And he was like, I don't want it to be nighttime. I want the sun up. And I was like, I can't do anything about that. Go to bed. And then when you wake up, the sun will be up. And he was like, no, I want it now. I was like, oh my God, seriously, these toddlers.
Yeah, we get a lot of, I think it's that sometimes it's kind of hard with your like rational adult brain to see where they're coming from when they're screaming and shouting at you. But I mean, I know it is normal behavior, but sometimes when you're driving a lot, like today I was driving along and she's just shouting, play into the unknown, into the unknown, into the unknown. I'm like, no, I'm driving, like I can't, you need to wait a minute. Yeah. And they just don't get it today.
No, they don't get it. Or it's like that, I need a drink, I need a drink, I need a drink, I need a drink. But you're literally like either on the toilet or like doing something else. And you're like, okay, in a second, I need a drink, I need a drink. It's like, ah, come on. Yeah, they don't get like the concept of weight, do they?
I think that's the thing, is like when you're or most people when they're at work will get breaks, and you can just like, if I on my lunch break, if I want to shut my door and say nobody talk to me for 20 minutes, I can do that.
Yeah.
And most people in most jobs, I know that's a generalization, but most people can have a bit of a break at work where you say like, just leave me alone. And you can't
do that.
Could you
imagine doing that at home? Yeah. Just don't talk to me for 20 minutes.
Although I don't know, for Christmas, my little girl had a trampoline. And if I put her in front of the TV on the trampoline, that gives me a good 5 minutes to like,
oh, amazing. Send to myself. Love that. I love that. Oh yeah, toddlers, they're just a whole other ball game. Someone has said, I feel this at the moment, I feel so much mum guilt and I'm always losing my patience with my boy. I can really relate. Sometimes I feel like such a bad mum. That's what you were just saying, basically, is that we always feel like we're doing it wrong. And I think as the default parent, you do feel so much mum guilt, because you are like, I don't know about you, I'm quite often having to be like, hold on a second, wait a minute, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, like, because you've got to do this, you've got to do this bit of life admin, you've got to put a wash on, you've got to start dinner, and you're always being like, hold on a sec, and you just get so much guilt about that.
Yeah, I think I think a lot of it is like my husband always makes fun of me for the fact that I say sorry all the time. And I'm like, but
Yeah.
just it feels like, I don't know. I think when you're the one who's more at home with, I mean, I work, but I only work part time, and so I'm at home more than my husband is. And
Yeah.
it's like you feel like you can't give enough of yourself to anything.
Yeah.
Like you can't be 100% present at home. And I think when you're doing a lot of the day-to-day daily grind stuff, you don't get time to slow down and have fun with them like perhaps the other partner does. Like I feel like my husband probably has, he comes down at the end of the day at work and he's excited, not that I'm not excited to see her, that sounds horrible, but like he's really excited to see her and he's like throwing her around and having fun. And like by that point in my day, I'm like, I don't have the energy. Like,
Got your white flag, like,
yeah, it's just, I think you end up just getting a bit kind of caught up in the mundane almost.
Yeah, definitely agree. And there's so much on your plate as the one that's kind of doing all the things, even if it's just in your brain. So like
Yeah.
remembering certain things, appointments, etc. So sometimes it's like I've heard the phrase recently that you don't have enough bandwidth, and that's because your
Yeah.
bandwidth is like taken up with all the things that you have to do, that by the time it comes to actually playing with your child, you've run out of bandwidth. But actually, it should be the other way around, but it can't be because you've
Yeah.
got all the things that you need to do.
I think that's the thing, is that there's just not enough unless you've got a team of chefs, cleaners, nannies, and everything else to do, everything that you could possibly want to do. You just,
Yeah.
it's, you can't possibly get to like 6 o'clock in the evening and
Yeah.
sit down and have a good play and be really excited about it, because it's just, you
Yeah.
just, by that point in the day, I'm like, my brain is fried.
Yeah, same. And all of those things, cleaners, chefs, all of those things, it's me. That's me.
Yeah, oh, to
So
be a
it's like,
Kardashian.
oh God, yeah, I know. I would honestly, I would have everything. I would have like a butler, a chef, a cleaner, a personal shopper, all the things if I could afford it. Because how nice would it be? And I've said this before on the podcast as well. I don't think motherhood is hard. I think having to do everything else as well as motherhood is hard. Because imagine
Yeah.
in motherhood, your only job being to be present with your children and play with your children and, just be there for them. You didn't have to do a single thing else. That would be so nice.
Yeah. So I think most people in an ideal world would want somebody to do all the day to day.
Yeah.
But the reality is, for most of us, that's just
No one can
not
afford
possible, is it? Yeah,
that. I
especially
know.
now.
Oh yeah, I know.
So,
No.
but I think it is hard. It's hard to sometimes, I think, and I think everybody's guilty of it, is sometimes just have to leave the house a mess and just go and sit down and play. But it is really, really hard to do that, and not always possible. Like you can't just not wash the dishes or not put the washing on. Like you can't do those things. But sometimes I do think, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna leave it. I'm gonna leave it a little bit messy and we'll just go and do something that we'll have fun with for 15 minutes or whatever.
I had Jade Corran on here, and she said something to me that's just stuck with me, and that it's that the housework will always be there, but your kids won't. And I was like, oh. So like no matter, like it will always be there. And does it really matter if you put the washing on now or in 6 hours? Like, does it really make that much difference? So I've started to try and adopt that now and just kind of not be as like strict on when I'm doing the housework and stuff. But as you say, some things like that it can't wait. Some things have to be done right now. And kids don't have any concept of like why we have to do it right now.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that it's just, you can't possibly do everything well. I've seen on Instagram quite a few times, it's like you can pick one to be perfect, but everything else can't be. And it's like clean hair, clean house, happy kids. And it's like, it's true, like you can't have everything all at once.
Exactly.
But it's hard sometimes to just acknowledge that, I think.
Yeah. Have you heard
and
of
whoever sent that in, whoever sent that in needs to be less hard on themselves. Like, everybody feels like they're doing a bad job.
I know. Yeah, you're not a bad mum, whoever sent that in. Like, I think we all feel like we are a bad mum sometimes, and we feel that guilt. But it's just because we have so much on our shoulders, we are having to deal with so much. And have you heard of the plastic and glass ball analogy?
No,
so basically it's you're imagining that you've got a load of balls in your hand, not those kind of balls. Some are plastic.
How we got in this situation.
Some are plastic, so if you drop them, they're not going to break. So that's the stuff that it's not going to cause any drama, it's not going to kill anyone if you drop them. So that is things like your housework. So if you don't do your housework for one day, it's not going to cause any drama. It's not going to kill anyone. Like, it's just a bit of a messy house. What else? Like, if for me, like if I don't post on Instagram one night, it's not going to kill anyone. There's no drama. It's fine. But the glass balls are the things that could cause a problem or could kill someone, for example, like feeding your children. Not feeding your children will kill them. So, and like things like if you've got a job, going to work, if you don't go to work or whatever one day, you're going to lose your job. So the glass balls are the really important things. So when I look at each day, I try and think about my glass balls and what I need to do on that day. Otherwise, it's going to have big consequences. Everything else is a plastic ball. If it doesn't get done, then, you know, shit happens. Like, I just kind of let it fly. And that's kind of how I live my life now.
Yeah, I really like that analogy, actually. I think that's quite a clever one. Like, but sometimes you do need to break it down into those sorts of things, I think, to get your head around it. Because I think we all sit there thinking, like, we need to have the perfect house, the perfect children, everything needs to be done right, everything needs to be perfect, I need to be working full-time, I need to be looking after my children full-time, I need to be doing all the educational things with them. And actually, nobody's doing that.
Nobody
is doing all of those things. Like,
no matter, like, even if you think they are because of Instagram, because I'm sure a lot of people pretend that they are on Instagram, but actually we know nobody's doing that unless you have got like a nanny or, you know, help and things. So yeah, everyone just needs to go a little bit easier on themselves, I think, and just accept that we can't do it all.
Yeah, I think one of the best things I ever got told was that shit moms don't think they're shit moms.
Yeah,
if you think you're a shit mom, you're not, because you're thinking that.
Yeah, so I've seen that as well. I love that. Yeah, so true. Right, on to the next one. I really find it so hard to juggle everything, and no one is ever really grateful or understanding. It's only when you don't do something or drop one of the many spinning plates that you get the negative comments, not ever positive. Oh, that's really sad.
That is
really sad. Only when you don't do something. That is, I suppose that is true though. Like, whenever, like, for example, if you forget something, everyone's quick to be like, oh, you've forgotten this, you've forgotten that. But then when you remember all the things, no one's like, oh, thank you for remembering every single bloody appointment and school thing that you have to do.
I think we're all a bit kind of, we all focus in on those kind of negatives. And I think sometimes, like, when I think about all the things that my husband does for me, I probably don't thank him enough. And I think sometimes we could all do with sort of saying what we're thinking a bit more, because I think most of us are probably a bit guilty of that. But it's also it's like if you post a photo on Instagram and you get like 100 nice comments and you get one negative comment, it's the negative comment that sticks with you, isn't it? That's the 100%. One that makes you think, oh, it was awful, everything was terrible about that.
100%.
And so I think it's hard sometimes to to see that. If nobody's telling you you're doing a good job, I can get why that would feel really demotivating.
And now I actually think about it, like, my husband's great and he does always be like, come home and like, oh wow, thank you, the house is so tidy, like, thank you for like tidying the house or, you know, the visible things that you can actually see have been done. But the men don't ever see inside our brains. And so they don't actually know what we're kind of doing in our brains. They don't know that we're having to remember which day's PE day so that we get them into their PE kits, to bring that pound coin for that day, or, you know, to get a birthday present for their friend or whatever for a party on Saturday. So, like, men are wired differently. So without actually seeing inside our brains, like, the only way you could probably get a thank you is to literally write down everything that you're thinking, everything that you're, like, remembering you're doing in a day and tick it and then be like, here you go, here's what I've done today. But that's a bit, you know, passive aggressive. So I don't actually think, to be fair to the men, that they know what we actually do. So who are they to say thank you when they don't know what we're doing, other than, you know, the visual stuff, like saying, well done for tidying the house, it looks great, or whatever.
I think it's also some of it, I think, depends what your personality is like as well. Like, I worry about things a lot, and I always have done. I've always been like that. My husband worries about literally nothing. Like, unless there's a, if there's a problem in front of him, he'll solve it and he'll move on. Other than that, he literally worries about nothing. And I think sometimes we, and I think, I don't know whether it's a mum thing, whether it's a women thing, I'm not sure. And it's quite a generalization, but I do think sometimes we sit and worry about things and think about things that perhaps we could just let go. Like, you don't always have to be doing everything. And I think it's also, you see in a lot of places, like, a lot of partners are happy to help, but they're like, oh, write me a list of what to do. And it's like, well, that kind of defeats the point, doesn't it? Like, it defeats the point.
I know, I've seen those reels going around.
Doing the things that stress me out.
Like, exactly. Like, I can walk into a room and, like, just out the corners of my eyes, I can be like, oh, look, that needs dusting. Oh, look, that needs doing. Oh, look, I need to sort that out. And then I'm sure that they can just walk into a room and just not see those things. It's like they're blinkered and they can't see those things. And I almost wish I could have one of those brains where I could just get on with life without thinking about all the other things. And I could just walk into a room and be like, oh, look, there's my children, how lovely, instead of being like, oh my god, there's stuff on the side, oh my god, there's a big pile of laundry, like all the things. I don't know, I don't know if it's because we are wired differently or because when you become a mum, maybe it's a society thing as well, because I think we're very much still in that very, very awkward transition between the days when the women did all the cooking, all the cleaning, all the childcare, and moving into a time where women are actually, you know, being CEOs and doing full-time work alongside being a mum. So I think we as a generation have it quite difficult because we're in the transition and we're having to do it all. We're having to do all the cooking, all the cleaning and the job and all the things. And I think we've not quite got out of the mindset of the past yet. And we're still very much the cook and the cleaner and everything else.
Yeah, I think I do wonder how much of it comes from social media as well. Like, if I look at my, I don't know what your like algorithm is like, but if I look at my algorithm, it's all either people playing educational games with their children, homesteading, home educating, plus all the like, I run my own company, I'm CEO of this, and
mine's also cleaning, and I look at these people's houses and I'm like, how does your house look like that? Mine looks like a children's toy shop has been blown up, plus the dust everywhere. Like, how does your house look like that when you've got children?
Yeah, see, I just walk around without my glasses on most of the time, then I can't see the dust.
Yeah, maybe I should just walk around with the lights off. That'll help me.
But yeah, I think it's, I do think like we have it, I think our generation have it in our heads a lot more that we have to be like the best at everything, because that's what we've been told, that women can be equal to men and we can do everything that men can do, and that's great and all the rest of it. But I think there is still limitations there for a lot of us, and especially if you want to have a family.
Yeah.
But then I don't think it's all such a new problem. Like my mum worked full time. She went back to work full time when I was a few weeks old, because she didn't have a choice. And I think then there probably was less realization and recognition than there maybe is now. I think at least now people are a bit more aware of the juggle between doing those things, than
My
maybe they
mum
were a
was the
few years
default
ago.
parent as well. My mum was the working mum and the everything else. But she got a divorce because she couldn't do all of that. And she was like, I'm sick of being the default parent. So that doesn't bode well for us all.
Yeah, see, I honestly, my mum is superwoman. I don't know how she did it. I genuinely don't know how she managed to do all the cooking, cleaning, look after me, look after the dog. Like, I don't know how she did it all.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how we do it all, to be honest. Sometimes I look at like all the things that I do in life as well as caring for children and I'm like, how the fuck? Like, if I think back to before I had children and I thought I was busy, like, what was
I
I
know.
insane? What was wrong with me?
Literally,
And now I look at now,
me and
it's
my husband had that conversation the other day of like, what did we do with our time? Like, actually, what did we do? Like, my previous job to the one I'm in now, I've worked in the job I'm in now for about, well, almost 4 years now. The job I had previous to that, I worked 4 long days. So I had 3 days off in the week, and long days weren't that long. It was like 8 or 6. It wasn't like a crazy long day. And I'm like, what did I do with 3 days off? I had 2 weekdays off on my own. And I used to just go to the gym, spend like 2 hours in the gym, go to the spa in the gym, chill, go home, have a bath. And that would be my whole day. And I
Yeah.
was like,
And
how
then you'd
did
be
I
like,
not?
oh, I've
And I
had
thought I
such a
was
busy
busy.
day. I've had the busiest day. Oh, God. Now I'd
Literally.
give anything for just like a 10-minute trip to the spa right now. Well, that'd be great. Oh, but yeah, it's wild, isn't it? So next one. This is a bit of a long one. It's a sometimes you love it and sometimes you want to scream situation for me. A part of me loves being the one needed and wanted, as it kind of confirms that I have a valuable purpose. But sometimes you just wish that the default parent responsibility could be shared, just so that you could eat, poop, and get ready in peace. I don't think the added pressure, etc., is taken into account. Often, I think my husband will have done things, but as she's all no mummy, mummy, I then have to do it, which then adds to my list and rushes me.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, my daughter is in a massive daddy phase, so
Same.
I do
I'm
all of
loving
that, and she's
it.
like, I don't want you anyway.
Yeah. I don't mind it though because I get a lot of sensory overload and when the kids are in mummy mummy mode, they're climbing on me. They're like dragging on my legs. They're following me around like little sheep everywhere. So I don't mind that they're in a daddy daddy phase at the moment because it gives me that little like break from the sensory overload. And it in a day or two they'll be back to mummy mummy again, so I'll have it all over again. But I agree with this person in that I like the break sometimes, but also it is nice to feel wanted and nice to feel like, you know, they feel safe with you, I guess.
Yeah, like I think ultimately, most of us, the main thing we want for our children is for them to know that we love them and to feel like we're there to keep them safe. And so it is, I suppose that's kind of the only recognition you get, really, isn't it, a lot of the time. But like I said, I mean, my daughter's always been a daddy's girl. She barely asks for me. If it's me and her, she does. If her, as soon as her dad comes down, she's like, "Daddy, daddy."
Oh, bless her. Bless her. Yeah, my kids were always mummy, mummy, mummy until like kind of recently, I guess. They've kind of gone to a bit of both now. So it's actually quite nice to get that break. My daughter was always mummy, 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 mummy. Whereas Bailey, he's kind of always been a bit of both, really. So yeah, it's nice. We have another long one here. So, as a single parent to a 4-year-old and a full-time teacher with an ex who shows up as and when and cancels a lot, I am always the default parent. But as exhausting as it is, my life would be easier knowing it's just me to rely on, because the constantly being let down is really hard. My son is also starting to pick up on it a lot more, and I can't shield him from being let down. One of the reasons our marriage broke is because of the constant default parenting and lack of him ever stepping up. I was seriously unwell and taken to hospital, and he still wouldn't look after the toddler. It felt like I had two children, not a partner. Parenting is such a tough job, but my son melted my heart the other week when out of the blue he said, "Thank you, Mummy, for all the lovely things you do. I love you." Aww, that's so lovely. Aww,
that's cute.
But I totally relate to the other bit. I've actually said this to Alec. I mean, back when Bailey was quite little, I actually said to him once, sometimes I feel like it would be easier to be a single mum, because sometimes when he used to go out, it would be the house would be tidy, and I'd actually do kind of the after dinner stuff, so tidying up the kitchen and stuff, like while the kids were still finishing their dinner, rather than us all four of us just sitting at the table. And it just felt easier. And having a third person, so like my husband, having a third person to kind of cater for almost felt like an added pressure. But that was when my youngest was quite young. And since then, yeah, we have communicated a lot more, and I've kind of, because I feel like as women, we don't really tell them how we're feeling. We want them to know how we're feeling without having to explain to them how we're feeling. Like the whole thing with the lists, like them saying, "I need a list of knowing what to do." We have the list in our head. We don't want to have to give them the list, but we want them to pick up what they need to be doing. But I don't think they're wired in that way. I don't think that they're wired to know what they need to be doing, or to know what is wrong with us without us telling them what is wrong with us. So I think a huge part of it is communication. And since I've been telling Alec how I've been feeling, and how I've been feeling a lot of pressure because of all of the things that we need to do, he's really been stepping up and helping with the housework. He did all of the Christmas shopping. He did all of Bailey's birthday shopping, because I've just had too much other stuff to do. So I think sometimes, ladies, you just got to tell them. You've just got to actually, I know it's annoying. You have got to give them a list of things they need to do.
Yeah, do you know what I've started doing recently is because my memory's atrocious. Mm. And so I put a lot of the things like checking that the nursery invoice has been paid, things like that, go yeah. on our Alexa, so yeah. that it shows up. We have that in the kitchen, and so that it comes up on the calendar in the kitchen yeah. of, "I'll check this, so yeah. that if I haven't done it, at least it's there for him to... Alexa's just heard me speak. Sorry, there's one next to me as well. But it means that it comes up on the screen so that... if I haven't done it, it's there for him to see, and I don't have to think to tell him.
Yeah.
So I think things like that, just writing it on a calendar, sometimes yeah. if you've done that, at least then it's there for
yeah.
your partner to see.
Yeah.
To see like, oh, that needs done. Yeah. I can do that or yeah, whatever.
Exactly. I did a chore chart as well. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I am that wife. I wrote down all of the chores that need to be done on each day so that they get done, so that it's there for everyone to see. And I mean, Bella even does some of them some days because she wants to earn pocket money, so she'll even do them. So the fact that I think maybe that's a good way to like teach the kids for later in life as well, that here's all the list of jobs that would otherwise be done by Mummy if you guys didn't help out. So it's there for you to see on the fridge. So if you fancy helping out, there you go.
Yeah, I think I do. I also totally relate to the sometimes it's easier to be in the sort of groove of things on your own. Mm. My husband works overseas periodically. And I remember the first time he went away was when my little girl was... about 6 months, something like that, 5-6 months. And I absolutely dreaded it. I was so, so scared about him going away and how I would cope. And actually, got into a really good routine of like, you just do everything in the order that you want to do it. And when he came back, I was like, oh, you've messed my routine up now.
Yeah.
Because he was away for like two weeks, I think, a week and a half, I can't remember. But now I was like, oh, you've messed my routine up now. Like,
yeah, really, had like, it down flow. To a T. Yeah.
Not sure that would be the same with a toddler, to be honest. But
No.
I think default parenting puts a strain on a lot of marriages, and I think and relationships. Like,
yeah.
I think that's a massive reason why a lot of relationships break down when you have children.
100%.
Is lack of communication over things like default parenting. Mm-hmm. I'm really lucky. My husband does probably more of our housework than I do, actually.
Oh, the dream.
Yeah. He works from home, and so he quite often does it in his lunch break. And it's easier then, because if it's a day when I'm at work, then Ailey's at nursery, like, it's a lot easier that way. I can see how that could be a breakdown. I can see also how it sometimes, if you've essentially got to look after somebody else as well as the child, probably are better off on your own.
I feel very lucky with Alec, because he is very good. And when I speak to some people and they tell me the kind of things that their husbands or partners do or don't do, I'm like, what? Like, absolutely not. That wouldn't happen in my house. Like, no way. Like, I spoke to someone recently and they said that their partner has an entire gaming day on the weekend, like a whole day to just game all day. And not to absolutely be interrupted not by the children. I was like, yeah, Alec, don't. Yeah, that's not happening. Just, no.
So my husband actually has our daughter one of the weekend days because I work. So so he does that. I just, no, I can't. Why? No.
No. Yeah. So I think sometimes maybe you have got to kind of look at your partner and look at the things that they do and just kind of be like, it's hard. I know it's hard, but this is something that I've kind of learned to do, is be grateful for the things that they do and appreciate the things they do. But then I can also think about the fact that when I was deep in that, like, I'm the default parent and like the resentment towards him, it's so hard to look at them and be like, oh, I'm so grateful that he put that glass in the dishwasher, because you're just like, I'm doing everything fucking else, like, I don't want to be grateful because he put that in the dishwasher because I'm doing all the other things. So it is tough, but like, there are people that are dealing with, so like, people that husbands that don't do anything at all. So try, if you can, if you're wanting to kind of stay in the relationship and work on the relationship, try and look at what they do and be grateful for what they do.
Yeah, then I also think, like, from both sides, for both partners, like, you do have to think about the example you're setting for your children as well. Like, do you want your children to be in a relationship where they do everything and their partner does nothing?
Yeah.
And you do have to think, if they're growing up seeing that,
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I know. That's one of the really big things for me, is that I didn't want our children to grow up and think that, for Bailey, that he gets to just sit and do nothing while his future husband or wife have to do all of the things. And for Bella, I didn't want to think that she was going to grow up and have to do all of the things while her future husband or wife sits and does nothing. So I'm really conscious of the fact that we share the load, so that we're bringing up children who equally share the load, because I'm hoping that's what future generations will do.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
I know. But Bella has all Bella says to Alec all the time, she's like, Daddy, why does Mummy always do everything and you just sit on your phone? And like, Alec was like, have you coached her to say that? And I was like, nope, that's just her observing things. So since she said that to him, though, he doesn't do it anymore. So I think that kind of hit a nerve. And he's like, doesn't sit on his phone anymore. So I'm glad that she said that. She's so observant, and like, just these little things, she just picks up on it. And like, because being an influencer, I get gifted a lot of stuff and a lot of days out and things like that. Obviously, I'm not paying for them with physical cash. I'm paying for them through work. And she was like, "Mummy, why do you pay for everything?" Oh my God. So not only does she think that I do everything, but I also pay for everything, apparently. I have corrected her though, but it was quite funny at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you need kids to come out with things like that.
Yeah, it's been a saving grace. Right, next one. So yeah, just sorry on that previous one, she was a single parent. So as a single parent, you are the default parent. You have no one to tap out with. It's you. You are that person. So like, that must be incredibly hard as well. Like, not being able to be like, okay, I'm at the end of my tether. I need 10 minutes. Here you go.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I take my hat off to anybody who's a single parent. Like, yeah. I can't imagine, because sometimes it's so hard to just...
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to just be like, can you come and take over for 5 minutes? Because I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah, hats off to you single parents out there. Next one. Hi, Lottie. I saw your story about default parenting and just wanted to send a quick message. I love being a mum. I wouldn't change it for the world. I work full time as a ward manager of a busy general medicine ward, which, as you know from working in ITU nursing, is not easy. Often very undervalued job by a lot of people in terms of the mental and physical workload. I find being the default parent much harder some days than others, especially when it feels like the kids are arguing constantly or shouting for snacks from the moment they land back through the front door after pickup. Most days I sit down at 8 p.m. or later as the kids refuse to let daddy do bedtime. The mental load is huge of remembering to book lunches, school trips, constant emails from school. Let's talk about school default parenting for a second. I know you're not there yet, but I guess nurseries probably have kind of a fair share of like stuff that you have to do. Being the default parent when you've got kids in preschool or school is fucking brutal, because there is so much to remember. And if they're in separate schools as well, like my two are in separate, like one's in school, one's in preschool. So the things that they're doing don't match up. So I've got like three different apps on my phone that I have to order lunches with and like do this on that app and this on that app and reply to this email and all of this stuff. And then Bailey also gets sent home stuff in his book bag, like forms that we've got to fill out. Bella's got books that she's got to read and a reading diary that we have to fill out, as well as all the like pounds, dress up days, dress down days, all of the stuff. And you're having to, and booking lunches, there have been many times that I forgot to order lunch and I've not remembered until we're going out the door and I'm like, shit, I forgot lunch, we need to make a back lunch. Yeah, so there's just so much to remember as a school or preschool mum.
Yeah, I think I'm quite lucky. I'm not there yet, but there's a reasonable amount from nursery, but it's not on the same level. I think it's almost assumed from most people that I know. It's almost assumed that the mum is the one that will deal with it in most families.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
from both sides. Yeah. Like, it just seems to be kind of assumed that you will, and if you're the one who gets all the emails and you're the one whose number's first on the file, it all does come to you. And you can pass it on, but you've still got to deal with it first.
Exactly. And there is just so much to remember as well. Like, my best friend was voice noting me earlier and she was saying her daughter's school does a wood walk where they go out for a walk in the woods, and I think they have a picnic and things in the woods, and obviously it's like -1 degrees out there at the moment. This morning she got her daughter all ready for the wood walk. She put on her extra socks as instructed. She put on extra vests as instructed. She packed her lunch as instructed, got to school, and the wood walk is next month. There's just so much to remember that sometimes like you do drop the ball. I remember dropping the ball on Pudsey Day. They had to dress up in Pudsey stuff for children in need, and I forgot and I didn't order anything, And it was the night before, and I went to my local Sainsbury's. They had nothing. I was like, shit, what do I do? So Bella had some yellow bows, and I just literally used Sharpies to put dots all over them and put those in her hair. But everyone else had like the t-shirts and all the proper Pudsey branded stuff. Bella just had her little Sharpied bows in her hair. And I felt like the shittest mum for simply just forgetting it because I had too much in my brain.
There's so much to remember though. And I think the problem is like you cannot possibly remember everything.
No.
And it does... It's always going to end up, you're always going to drop one ball somewhere, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it is, I don't even know what the solution to that is. I mean, I write a lot down at the moment because it's just the only way that I can do it is by scheduling it in and writing it down.
Yeah.
But even today, I'd completely forgotten about recording this until last night.
Yeah.
Because I forgot to write it in the calendar.
Yeah, exactly. All you've got to do is forget to write it in the calendar and then it's as if it was never happening. I fully get that. I mean, last year I forgot Bailey's birthday and he's my son. So his birthday, it's tomorrow and it's straight after Christmas. There's so much going on. We were like getting ready for Christmas and everything like that. Got ready for Christmas and I was like, oh my God, it's also Bailey's birthday in 2 weeks. What the hell? We haven't planned a birthday party. By that point, it's too late to plan a birthday party. So I was like, oh, shit. So I guess we'll just do like a party at home then. So yeah, we had a party at home, but I felt so much guilt because Bella has always had a actual party. So I felt so bad for him. But this year I was like, right, it's September. I'm going to book Bailey's party. I was like, I'm not forgetting it this year. I've actually done his party this year.
It's so hard though, right after Christmas. My daughter's birthday's next week. And it is so hard that bit after Christmas because nobody really wants to do anything.
No.
What
date is
like,
her birthday?
Her birthday's the 18th of January.
Oh, mine's the 20th. So my birthday's next week as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. How fun,
but
January
yeah.
birthdays.
We thought about doing a party and then it just got to the point where we were like, not that we can't be bothered, but like, it's just that bit after Christmas, nobody really wants to do anything. So we're like, do you know what? We're just going to go out and have a family day and have a really nice day out and do that because I'd rather do that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes I think the parties can get ridiculous. Like we, with Bella... We've started something now. Like we hired a princess for her second birthday and now every single birthday she wants a princess and I am really regretting hiring a princess for her second birthday now. But some of the parties can just be absolutely like crazy extravagant and I'm like, what? This kid's only three. Like literally Bailey's party on Sunday, we've hired a hall and it comes with a bouncy castle that is just standard, like it's just their bouncy castle.
Oh, amazing.
And I'm just taking his train tracks and going to set up some train tracks because he loves them. And that's it. That is the party.
Yeah, but do you know what? That's the kind of thing that they love. Like, you can do these massive, elaborate parties. And actually, like, they're 2, 3, 4 years old. Like, they just want to be there with their friends having fun. They don't care whether it's in a village hall somewhere or whether it's in a big massive venue with loads of stuff. They don't care. They just want to run around with their friends.
And have loads of sugar.
Yeah.
I'll make sure there's plenty of that there on Sunday. It'll drive me wild.
Send them home all wired up on sugar.
Off you go. Back to mummy now. Yeah. But yeah, being the default parent is really hard. And kind of what, if you could give a mum that was struggling as the default parent one piece of advice, what do you think it would be?
Do something for you. Mm. You have to have something in your day that is for you and not for anybody else. So ignore the washing, ignore the dishwasher. You can do it at nap time, you can do it before they go, before they wake up, you can do it after they go to sleep, but have something in your day that is just yours for you. And I just started doing that a bit more now that she, and I think it is a bit easier when they're a bit older.
Yeah.
But it's just, it makes a world of difference to just do something where you're not doing something for other people, because when you spend all your time doing things for other people and doing everything for everybody and trying to be everything to everyone, you need some time that's your time. And that can be whatever you want it to be. It can be exercise, it can be meditation, it can be breathing, it can be sitting and having a cup of coffee in silence, it can be reading a book, anything that you want to do, but just take a bit of time to do something that is purely selfishly for you. And it's not selfish, because it's all that whole thing about you can't pour from an empty cup, can you?
I was about to say, you've got to fill your cup.
You need to spend, I genuinely think every single mum should have some time in their day, wherever you can find it, to do something that is yours for you.
Yeah.
And get it into a habit of doing it every day, whatever it is.
Yeah. And that definitely gets easier as they get older. I remember just not ever doing anything for myself, and like I felt like I'd just let myself go in every area. Like my health was really bad because I wasn't doing any exercise, I wasn't drinking any water. My appearance, I've always been like, had eyelashes, always done my hair, always done my makeup, and I was just not doing any of that. I was barely even showering, like let alone putting makeup on. And like I love to do creative things like painting and stuff like that. Wasn't doing any of that. I love to go out with my friends as well. Wasn't doing any of that. So I think when the kids get older and you're able to start doing those things a bit more regularly, that's when you really start to feel like yourself again. And that's when you the resentment for everyone else kind of dissipates, because you're like, oh, okay, like I'm actually able to do things for me now. So I feel, it's that filling your cup thing, isn't it? Like you feel like you're constantly using your cup to fill up everyone else's cup, and then you're leaving yourself empty. Whereas if you start to fill your cup again, then you've actually got like some reserves in there.
Yeah, I think, I really think that's one thing that I neglected for a long time, and I think a lot of people do. I think the first bit of becoming a first-time parent, I think most people lose themselves completely.
Yeah.
And you do have to do things to keep you, and that, like I say, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It just has to be something that's for you. And just try not to feel guilty about doing those things, because I think a lot of us feel really guilty for, I normally go to the gym in the morning before she wakes up, and I still, bloody even hell, now, I've been doing good. It for months. It's the only time in my day, and I'm normally in bed by now.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
What do you mean you're not coming to the gym at 5 tomorrow?
God, my kids are up at 6. If I had to go before they got up, do you imagine what time I'd be at the gym? Christ.
But I think even now, I've been doing it for months now, and I still feel guilty about going, but actually you're much nicer to everybody else if you do something that's nice for yourself. Truly believe that.
Yeah, definitely. I always say to people who are struggling with mum guilt and don't want to do the things for themselves, I always say, if you don't want to do it for you, do it for them, because you're much nicer to be around if you've looked after yourself. So like if you're really struggling to be like, okay, I want to do this thing for me, don't do it for you. Be like, okay, I'm going to do this thing so that I'm nicer to them.
Yeah, and it can be even just sitting down and having a cup of coffee while they're napping. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing all the jobs around the house, just sit down, have a cup of coffee for 10 minutes. If that's all the time you've got in the day, then just do something like that, even if you just get that 10 minutes to yourself. Or I remember seeing Anna Mather, who I like, she's amazing.
She is.
If you don't follow her, you should. Mm-hmm. And if I remember seeing her saying something like, as mums, we often rush everything. And even like just slow down in the shower. When you're having a shower in the morning or in the evening, just don't do everything so quickly. Yeah. And even that, just having that little bit of time sometimes can be enough to just top you up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
If you can't top yourself up fully, sometimes you just need to top yourself up a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
And that's enough to keep you going.
Yeah, definitely. Love that. So on that note, before we go, could you just tell us, do you want them to find you on social media?
I mean, my inbox is always open. Mm-hmm. I am at MJI27. Sorry, I had to think then. I used to have a weaning page, but I don't really use it anymore. Mm. But I mean, you can tag me in this. My inbox is always open.
Amazing.
But I think, yeah, that's kind of it. I'm not big on socials.
No.
Just like talking a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why you're back on here again.
Yeah.
Love it. It's great. We love a returning guest on here. I've had loads, so it's great. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking to me again. It has been lovely speaking to you, and I know so many mums out there will relate to everything we've said today. So thank you.
Thanks for having me back.
You are welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, could you please subscribe, download, and leave a review? And I would absolutely love it if you could share my podcast with your friends. I'll see you for the next episode.